Welcome to Candid Catholic Convos, a program brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Our mission is to humanize the Church and help you to grow in your faith, love, and understanding. I'm your host, Rachel Trochet, a cradle Catholic who's only human and struggled with faith on more than one occasion. Each week, you'll hear engaging, down-to-earth interviews and actionable strategies you can implement into your life with ease to help you grow closer to God. If you're ready to open your heart and step fully into the person God created you to be, then you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Michael Parks with MyHeartMedia and WHP 580, and it's a pleasure to once again celebrate the Easter season and celebrate the most holy time of year with the Bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg, the Most Reverend Timothy Sr. And this is kind of unique because we're joining you before Holy Week. Usually we join you on the day before Easter. So we get a lot of great information for you and inspiration and conversation to talk about, including some things that Rachel and I here at the interview are learning about the season of Lent and how that works out. So I think you'll have a good time with us today. So first of all, Bishop, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much, Michael.
You've been a bishop of Harrisburg for 9 months, and in following the diocese's social media, you've been quite busy. And so how have things been going over these last few months?
It's been wonderful. It's been a really great time of grace for me personally as a bishop, and I feel very much at home. I feel like I've been here for a much longer time than just 9 months, actually. And I view that as a positive thing to say, that I feel that this is now where I belong too, which is a really good thing. In a wonderful way, God has blessed me with this ministry, and I just have enjoyed getting around and getting to know people and getting to know and getting a sense of the diocese and some of the history and some of the experiences that people have had in various contexts. It's hard to generalize because the 15 counties, there's a lot of diversity on multiple levels, history, culture. It's interesting to see. So wonderful opportunities for the Church.
Yeah, it's a very wonderful area. That's the reason when I moved up here, and I said, well, you can call this place home. And like you said, it's quite a mix of traditions and people have it with you. Since you have traveled a lot throughout the diocese, what have been some of your impressions of the parishes and the Catholic schools? Are they welcoming you, or they have questions, concerns?
I'm very impressed by first of all, the level of commitment that I've seen and the wonderful works of the Church that are unfolding every day throughout the Diocese of Harrisburg, and the commitment of those who are carrying them out. I mean, I can use high schools as a good example. I've visited the six high schools that we have in the diocese. I've visited many of the elementary schools as well. Just so encouraged by the commitment and the involvement of the commitment of alumni is really extraordinary here. The loyalty to their school and the ongoing relationship with the school, and that comes through in wonderful kind of community building ways of the supporting the sports teams and the rivalries between the schools. But it really does come down to their faith was formed there, and they were encouraged. It's been a huge impact in their life. It's something I can identify with, actually, personally. I love my high school where I went in Montgomery County, Lansdale mm-hmm. Catholic High School. And I can see that. I'm really just been inspired by it. And so that level of commitment from the administration, faculty, and staff of the school and the alumni as well is something that's really impressed me.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny story. When I was going to, when I go to Mass over at St. Margaret, and it's on the East Shore. So it's obviously that's Bishop McDevitt territory. And so I think it was a celebration of the Holy Trinity. And one of the altar boys says, do we really have to say Trinity? So it just shows, like you said, that rivalry and, that very, very friendly rivalry. We talk about the youth. You visit the schools and talk about that just quickly about, your impressions of the youth. The young kids have all been giving a bad rap lately, as I say, and they're lazy and they're not encouraged. What have you seen, from some of the youths in elementary schools and through the high schools?
I've been inspired by them. I find them to be, first of all, very engaging, willing to talk, interested, you know, asking questions, speaking about themselves. I've been also celebrating confirmations. So I meet with, they're generally eighth graders, or some of them are ninth graders, in different parishes. And I meet with the candidates for confirmation before. Sometimes, especially at that age, they'd be a little reticent to speak up or to engage. But I find them to be quite willing to do that. And yeah. I also find them to be very reverent and well-prepared, and getting a sense of their reverence and awe at the experience of, you know, preparing for confirmation. It's very humbling. Yeah. To see that. And, yeah, they're really great. So I see that. I've also seen, when I speak of young people, I think of also been to several college campuses, having the opportunity to visit various chaplaincies or campus ministry programs, Newman Ministries, meeting young people, who many of whom are coming from other parts of the country or other parts of the world to colleges and universities here in the Diocese of Harrisburg. Others are our own kids, you know, our own young people in college. And again, same thing. Sure, there's problems. It's not easy to be a kid today.
No.
There's a lot of complications, but we're blessed with, I think, a wonderful complement of very strong families who are very concerned about their children's faith formation. It's part of the reason our schools are strong, and you see that in them. Trying to get to those who perhaps are struggling is I think that part of the responsibility that we all have as Catholics. I hold that responsibility in my heart. We want to reach those who are not being reached right now.
Yeah.
But I see that. And then finally, young adults, a lot of young adults in Mid-State. And I'm so happy to have, you know, back in January, we had the kickoff for young Catholic professionals and YCP, and it was real successful. We had it right there at the state capitol, and a couple hundred young adults came. So again, the church is very much alive here. And I see that lived out there, and young people in a very special way.
Yeah, I think it's very, very, very good to hear. It's well known that the diocese has faced some of the troubling times in the recent past, the grand jury report, the bankruptcy. But, you know, much like with the kids, what you see out there, it seems like the diocese has entered a new chapter. Thoughts on that?
Yes, I believe so. You know, it's been, there's no way you can just say, you know, we have moved on. And the one thing I would definitely say is we can never really set aside what had happened for the benefit of people who are survivors of sexual abuse. We have to always accompany them and recognize their story, and that it speaks to us in a very, very challenging way, that we have to learn our lessons, you know, and especially those of us in leadership, from the mistakes of the past. And so that I don't want to lose sight of that. And so, you know, like you can't say, all right, we've solved that. We've moved on. It's really a question of every day trying to make sure that we have not just policies and procedures that are on paper, but that we are actually creating safe environments for young people, and that we are responding as proactively as possible to assist people who have had the horrible experience of sexual abuse, whether it be within the context of the church or in any part of their lives. So I think that that's there. And as a bishop going around, frankly, I have it in my mind that lots of times it is on people's minds. You know, they are wondering about it, and there is still, it's going to take generations, I think, to work through the experience of what surfaced, you know, in the last 20 years in the Catholic Church in the United States and the other parts of the world. So I think it's good to just keep that in mind, especially for people who are on the margins of practice of the faith. You know, I who don't go to church regularly, who aren't active in the church, and maybe they, you know, go occasionally. So like on Easter Sunday or Christmas Eve, I'm people coming in there wondering, looking at me, who's the new bishop? Is he different from, you know, the mistakes of the past? I just think it's, you know, it's a healthy caution, and keep that in mind. There are people who are looking for the spirituality that they would, you know, and the connection with God. But the scandal, frankly, really stressed their faith. And I think, you know, I want to help them to find their way back to the full practice of the faith. Ultimately, it's about trust, and to be a leader. Effective leader in the church, you know, I have to keep that in mind all the time in building the trust. My predecessor, Bishop Gaynor, was extraordinarily good at that. I could say that we have great policies and procedures in place you know, from a financial standpoint, but in this area of child protection as well. We're looking to always improve them. And again, you know, make sure they're just not in a binder on a shelf, but that they're actually lived out.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why when we have this conversation, we continue to talk about it. I'm sure a lot of people are saying, well, you know, forget about it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. But I think it's right. It's like, you know, we learn from our lessons of the past and we try to move on. But you know, we're just show that we're trying. And, you know, there were sins committed and move on from that. Forgiveness. Before we started talking today, I took a look at the diocese website and my gosh, a lot of programs and ministries going on, throughout the diocese.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's a lot of creativity, particularly coming out of the Secretariat for Catholic Life and Evangelization here at the Diocese of Harrisburg. A couple of initiatives that, you know, be good to mention. First is a program called Life-Giving Wounds. This is a new ministry in our diocese that reaches out to young adults and adults who have divorced or separated parents. It's one thing you need to think about. I remember working in seminary formation. When I was in the seminary back in the 80s, pretty much everybody that I knew came from a mother and father. Everybody was together, kind of an intact family. And sadly, that's not the case as much. So I would meet young men who have discerned a call to the priesthood and love both of their parents, but, you know, their parents have divorced or separated, or you know, some cases married again, and that was all part of their formation, the experience that it had. So hearing that there could be such an initiative, there's going to be a 3-day retreat planned in April 12th to the 14th, and the retreat for Life-Giving Wounds gives participants a greater understanding of the wounded divorce that it has had in their own lives, and helping them to integrate that into their faith. Another important initiative that I think is very, very opportune for us is the annual men's conference, which is coming up on April the 20th. That's going to be here at our diocesan center. The conference is a chance for Catholic men in our diocese to come together. And I just want to make an appeal to men who might be listening to this who do practice their faith and might be planning to come to the men's conference. I would just say, try not to come by yourself. Bring your son. Bring your dad, and then bring the guy that you know who you coach soccer with, or who you coach basketball with, or who you know from work, who's a Catholic that's fallen away, mm-hmm. or maybe someone who's looking for faith, to invite that person. Hey, would you come with me? You know, my dad and I are going to the men's conference. Would you come with me? I think those experiences of these men's conferences can be transformative mm-hmm. in the lives of men. So I just want to encourage that.
It's a wonderful program and getaway. And what do you think men get out of it or take home with them? You know, there is a reward from everyone that I spoke to who attended. It's been nothing but, positive. You know, like I'm so glad that I did it. But what do you think most men take from that?
Well, one thing I know from my experience of having assisted is this one area of it, which is the opportunity of going to confession. If you haven't been to confession for a while and you go to a men's conference and you see all these other men who are doing that, it makes it a little easier. Right. And it creates kind of a safe space to say, hey, you know, I really want to get right with the Lord on every level of my life. And they could take that away, if obviously praying that they have an experience of grace and a new openness to God and a recognition and experience that, you know, God loves us no matter where we are along that journey. And I can be part of a community of believers, you know, and I think the fact that it's all men together, I think it makes it a little easier.
Yeah. Not to drift aside there, but when you talk about confession, I mean, we always were taught when we were growing up, it was like, you know, it was kind of like a laundry list. You would go in, you know, I said, use God's name in vain. I may have lied, didn't do this stuff. What do you think is the key? But, you know, I think when you tell me, what is the key to a good cleansing confession?
An honest examination of conscience. And there's lots of tools that are out there. You know, examples, you could probably Google examination of conscience for confession and you'll get. I mean, you have to go, and be willing to be, you know, sort of dramatically honest, thoroughly honest, you know, about it. That's the one thing about confession is this, it's incredible. You're talking to someone who you really ultimately is the instrument of Jesus Christ. And hopefully mirrors the gaze of love that we have when we turn to Jesus. So whatever burdens we carry, We're not helping ourselves by continuing to carry them. And confession lets you. So I would say a thorough examination of conscience and a willingness to just put it all out there, you know, and just be free of it. Let it go.
Not to toot my own horn, but everybody knows Michael Parks. He always puts on a performance no matter where he goes. And I remember I went to that one confession. And I did the same exact thing. And the priest came out at the end and he goes, you know what? He goes, that's the best confession I've heard in this season.
That's exactly the point. And that's the way we feel. Hearing confessions is one of the most wonderful grace-filled experiences I've ever had in my life.
Right.
As a priest, when you realize, wow, I mean, if I don't ever do anything else, just to create a safe space where someone can be that honest. Remember, too, why would I be afraid to say something in confession? It's because I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
Right? And shame is the instrument of the evil one. Hmm. The devil wants us to be ashamed. He wants us to be afraid.
Yeah.
Remember what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden?
Right.
What did they do? They hid from God. Yeah, they covered themselves, and they hid from God because they were ashamed. The antidote to shame is honesty and openness and allow God to come in because there's wounds associated with the stuff that we did. Mm-hmm. So as long as I hide it, you know, too. It's like the man with the withered hand, too. Remember in the gospel? Comes into the synagogue, the man with the withered hand comes up to Jesus on the Sabbath and he sees him there and he sees an opportunity to heal and he asks him to come up and says, stretch it out. The man must have not wanted to do that, but when he stretches it out, he's healed. I think that's what can happen in confession. When I just sort of get it out there.
Getting back on track with the ministries that are coming up. Just quickly, a couple more that we have coming up on the schedule.
Yeah, St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's another one, another ministry that I'm excited about here. You know, this is a national program that we're partnering with this organization, St. Paul Street Evangelization, to bring their training program to our diocese. This is the second time that St. Paul Street Evangelization will have offered a training in our diocese. The program is for the lay faithful to learn non-confrontational techniques for sharing the gospel in the public square. You know, we all get that. You hear that. I say it a lot. You know, share your faith. Speak about it. But how do you do that? Jesus didn't just call us as apostles to go and to share the good news. He calls all of us to this specific work of evangelization in one way or another, and that can be hard. I get intimidated by it. So the ministry teaches tools, practical tools for sharing the faith. And the training this year is going to be in the northern part of the diocese. On April the 27th, we have a training in Bloomsburg, and on May the 4th, a second opportunity for a training in Danville, April 27th and May 4th. And there's information about that on our website, I believe. And then finally, the Young Adult Retreat. You know, I talked about YCP, Young Catholic Professionals, and there's going to be a Young Adult Retreat that I'd like to mention. It's going to be over Memorial Day weekend, the end of May. And again, in my short time in Harrisburg, I've seen so many young adults that are on fire with their faith. We've got great ministries, young adult ministries that are unfolding throughout the diocese and very, very active. And, you know, it'd be good to take advantage of some time to get together for a couple of days with other young adults.
And again, you can get all the information by going to the diocesan website, hbgdiocese.org, and also the diocesan website and social media channels, and also by subscribing to the digital publication, which is the Catholic Witness. Evangelization, spiritual enrichment, opportunities, a lot of those out there. But there's another event that's coming up that you're really looking forward to, a week of Eucharistic revival.
Yes, the week of the Eucharistic revival. It's going to start on June 1st with the ordinations of the new priests. As a highlight, the connection between the Eucharist and the priesthood, and also you know, the importance of praying and encouraging vocations to the priesthood in our diocese at this time, especially. But we're still coordinating some of the plans for this. But I can share that on June 4th, our diocese will be participating in the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage. This pilgrimage is in advance of the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis, which is in July. The pilgrimage in our diocese will include a Eucharistic procession from Immaculate Conception Church in New Oxford to Sacred Heart Basilica in Hanover, and then on to St. Vincent de Paul Church, and ending at St. Joseph Church, also in Hanover. So that evening, we'll have a special prayer service called Vespers or Evening Prayer in the Liturgy of the Hours, and then we'll enjoy a delightful feast of Spanish cuisine. So other events that are associated with this, we're planning for this week. But our closing event will be on Saturday, June 8th. And we'll gather for Mass on the steps of our Capitol here in Harrisburg, the state capitol. And we'll be followed by a Eucharistic procession and then end with another food festival. So as I will be, the bread of life will enable us to break bread with one another and to celebrate the gift of our Catholic faith and our belief in the Eucharist. So as I mentioned, we're still finalizing plans, but all the details will be available in the coming weeks and are on our website as they are finalized.
And there is a National Eucharistic Congress coming up. I hear that you will be attending.
Yes. Well, this is the first time we've had a National Eucharistic Congress in the United States in 83 years, and it's going to be in Indianapolis. Just incredible speakers, coming from all over the country. My brother bishops have been working on this, several of them, in for a number of years now. The Eucharistic Revival is how it's often referred to. So we are having a diocesan pilgrimage, and I am going to be attending that and be leading it. Certainly be a wonderful experience. I'm looking forward to spending time with people from Harrisburg, on this journey and to be part of the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis, in July, that is.
Well, as I said at the beginning of the program, normally this program, our sit-down conversation with the bishop, normally airs during the end of Holy Week, right around Easter, if not on Easter Sunday. But this year, we're approaching a Holy Week. We're early this year, and I know for Catholics, Holy Week is the holiest time of the church year, and we use that term. So, why is it, from your standpoint?
Well, there's the Holy Week or the days leading up to the Easter Triduum, the Sacred Triduum, when we celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ. It's really the most important event in the history of the world. And it is the center of our faith. All of us who are baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ. And we renew our baptismal promises on Easter Sunday. So by walking again into that mystery with Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, and then Easter Sunday, we're entering into that in a new way and hopefully encountering Jesus in a more personal way as we realize the way God expressed God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we might have eternal life and to personally experience that in a new way. So it's a profoundly spiritual experience, I believe, ultimately, when we really enter into it, and one that enables us to hopefully renew our faith, renew our commitment, having prepared for that, by the way, too, throughout the whole season of Lent.
Well, we're going to go to class here, as our producer Rachel and I both learned before we started the show today. We learned something we didn't know before, because I was asking the bishop, I go, well, with this show beginning of Holy Week, is that the end of Lent? And then he went on to say, explain when Lent begins, Lent ends, and the whole season itself.
Sure. Well, Lent actually ends on Holy Thursday afternoon or early evening with the celebration of the Mass of the Lord's Supper. So that Holy Thursday Mass, usually I believe at our cathedral, it's at 5 o'clock around that time. And most places would have it in the evening with, of course, the washing of the feet and the recalling Jesus, the Last Supper, and celebrating the Eucharist there, giving the Eucharist to the church, to all of us. And then it would continue with Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. So it's actually a separate season. So Lent ends, on Thursday afternoon with Vespers of Holy Thursday, and then with the Mass of the Lord's Supper, you're into a new season.
And then begins Easter, and the Easter season goes till?
Easter season begins after Sunday evening prayer or Vespers on Easter Sunday and goes until Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday.
And something else we also learned, we knew that Lent was 40 days and 40 nights, but it doesn't include Sundays?
It doesn't include the Sundays of Lent. Oh. Actually, if you got to add it up, there are 40 days of Lent, but the Sundays would bring it up to 46, and then the days of the Easter Triduum bring us up to 50.
And not to give the people a break here, but the idea of Sundays for things that you give up on Lent, Sundays don't count.
Theoretically, historically, you could say that because it's not Lent. You can take the Sunday the relief of abstinence. You know,
this is kind of like the St. Patrick's Day. You know, you can eat corned beef if it was on a Friday.
You got to get a dispensation for that. But it's just, of course, we don't get that this year because St. Patrick's Day falls on a Sunday. So you don't really get it.
You know. Yeah, but getting back to the serious side, you know, this is the greatest story ever told. Thousands of years, every single year, from the clergy to the parishioners and the flock. How do you every single year try to make it different or special? Because so people just don't say, yeah, it's another year, it's another season of Lent.
Well, first, I think, and this has certainly been true as you're asking me what I've experienced in the diocese, throughout the diocese, and I have every expectation it will be the case for the celebration of the Triduum too, but the liturgy itself, well celebrated, provides an experience and it provides the context for an encounter with Jesus in a new way. So, and I have seen that there's a lot of emphasis and sensitivity about the importance of celebrating Mass well, whether it is through the preparation of the ministers, the music, the decorations. It's really done very well throughout the diocese. There's been a lot of good liturgical formation in the Diocese of Harrisburg over the years that I've been able to see and experience. So I think that is important. So if we're churches, and they usually do try to ramp up, and so the people who have been away from the church or are looking to deepen it, we just got to do it well. And because the church really provides the guidelines and the context for us to really enter into reflection upon the death and resurrection of Christ, also called the Paschal Mystery. So I that's there. And if we come looking for it and expecting to encounter him, I don't think the Lord's going to disappoint us.
We want to thank the Most Reverend Timothy Senior Bishop of Harrisburg, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Again, learn more about all that they do and all that how you can be involved by going to the website hbgdiocese.org. And as we start this Holy Week, we hope that you will also take part in the many, many services. And most importantly, we all hope that you'll get together with family and friends. We hope that you will, no matter what your faith is, find a church nearest you. The doors are open. You'll be welcomed. Go in and enjoy this most wonderful time of year. Celebrate and be, you know, it's like a rebirth. It's a rebirth. So, Bishop, thanks so much again for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Our thanks to the Rachels here at the Diocese of Harrisburg for helping me prepare for this program and produce this program. I'm Michael Parks, and a very, very happy Easter to you.